Hello, beautiful, and welcome to Finding Fertility. I'm your host, Monica Cox from FindingFertility.co, and I created this podcast to help get you to start thinking outside of the box and realize that your infertility might have nothing to do with your lady bits. Rooted in functional medicine and personal experience, Finding Fertility is all about looking at the whole body and finding the root cause of your infertility. Finding Fertility does not diagnose, prescribe, or treat any issues of infertility. But what we do is take a holistic approach and improve your diet and your lifestyle to get you steps closer to creating your dream family. Just by being here with me, listening to this podcast, you're already going down the right path to making your dreams come true. Let's do this together. Welcome back to another episode of Finding Fertility. I'm your host, Monica Cox, and I am super honored you are here becoming the conscious mama you were born to be. Today, we have another kind of Q&A from the community, and of course, I'm sharing it here. So without further ado, let's get to today's episode. Hi, guys. Welcome to June's second group coaching. I popped in here a little bit early to answer an email question for someone in the fertility food program, but is not a part of the community, just emailed me. And it's just a really relevant question for a lot of people. So I want to make sure that she gets the support she needs and we share it in the community for everyone to know. Okay, so when you join fertility food or fertility formula, there is a price point where you just get the course and you get the information. You have an opportunity to jump into the community for a 7-day free trial. And then after that, it's $99 a month, no commitments. And this gives you just access to a functional fertility coach without paying the high one-to-one coaching prices. You're a part of a community. You can join the live group coachings. You can ask any questions, get any support that you need. Not that I think it's essential. I've had people get and stay pregnant naturally and through medical assistance without even us ever meeting. And I just get an amazing email telling me their success. But I do think that if you're someone who has been on this journey and you feel the journey has been far too long and you're still really confused about especially diet things, gut health issue things, and not really understanding if you feel like you're doing everything right, but it's still not quote unquote working, like WTF. So that's what the community is for. And you get bespoke guidance just like this. And it can save you a heck of a lot of time trying to guess your way through all these things. And in the long run, it will save you money, right? You join the community for even 1 to 3 months, you can get the right path that you need to be on. So it's definitely worth it. Okay. So, the first question that kind of started all of this off was, is the inspirational meal plan, if you are a vegetarian or a vegan, is fertility food going to work for you? Now, the inspirational meal plan, which you can get via a PDF, you can get a KDP Amazon book, like a journal that has the inspirational meal plan. And then it obviously comes in fertility food, fertility formula, and the one-to-one coaching. This is pure inspiration to give you guidance on how to increase the variety of food in your diet. That is the number one thing most people are missing before finding their food intolerances or even after finding their food intolerances. Getting a wide variety in your diet is essential to boost your gut microbiome and allow healing to happen and all the gut functions to work correctly and span out to the rest of your body. It increases your hormones. And it decreases your inflammation and oxidative stress, which increases your cellular health, boosts your egg quality, boosts your uterine lining, all the things that we want and need for a happy, healthy pregnancy. But it's pure inspiration because
The fact of the matter is that there is no perfect diet out there for one person. So, if you pick up a meal plan off of anyone, even if they are like the most guru expert out there, it still might not be the right diet for you. So, it's essential that you target first finding out your food intolerances. And in the guidance with all of the different levels of getting this information, there is the elimination diet, and you start with the five most common food intolerances, which is dairy, soy, corn, gluten, and obviously high sugars. Eggs can be thrown in there too for number six. And you take a certain amount of time, minimum 14 days, up to a month, to get these foods out of your life and see how your body starts reacting. And then you can play with introducing one at a time over a 5 to 7 day period to see if anything flares up. And in this guidance, there's like a huge list of common and normal health issues that could be showing up with these food intolerances. So it's not just about your gut health, but obviously a lot of us suffer with that. It could be your skin, it could be your hair, it could be your mood, it could be your sleep, your PMS. There's so many different things that you just need to rule out for yourself. And once you figure that out, then you can feel more confident of bringing in a wide variety of things. So let's just take the number one thing, gluten, right? Like, this is the devil. Most people are intolerant to gluten, one, because they have super low gut health, two, because they're eating what I like to call rancid gluten, where it is highly processed, from growing stage to processing stage to the chemicals added for it to be able to sit on your shelf for way longer than what our ancestors, when they were eating gluten and bread all the time. Sometimes I was like the staple of people's diet, bread and beer. It was, they didn't have the issues that we had because there wasn't the chemicals, there wasn't these fast processes to get them on the shelves. So those are the things that we need to be aware of. But if you are like, hey, I'm not intolerant to gluten, and when I eat high quality gluten that has been slowly fermented, grown as close as possible in an organic way, I'm actually fine. I've even had a client who is smart as shit. I've actually talked about her a few times on this in the group and in the podcast, and was told by another, very, very smart fertility specialist, okay, even though you feel good on raw dairy, you shouldn't have it just in case, which is complete bullshit. No, if you know you feel good on it, if you know that it's great for your body, that's not the thing causing it. And we don't want to limit things that we don't have to. So getting really clear on your food intolerances is key, and then adding in a wide variety. The inspirational meal plan is solely there for inspiration to give you really a good like insight of like, hey, I can have this wide variety, but it doesn't have to be super complex. It can be super easy. I can rotate meals. I can get into my swing of things. And you don't even have to follow the meal plan. It's introduce some things maybe that you're like, hey, that I really like that, or don't really like that. I like this in my life and I know I feel good on it. So it's a really We've got to, I know sometimes we just want that, like, tell me what I should do. And in some cases with the one-to-one coaching, I do that, especially when we do MRT tests and we know there's some autoimmune issues and we start where you're at. Okay, I'm fully committed. I want to go full AIP. I know my food issues, and that is it. That's, you got to stick with that, right? So when you are vegetarian and vegan, there's some misconceptions, and it's in the courses about these plant foods, when you eat them raw, could be doing you more harm than good. One, you might be intolerant to them, especially if you have long-term health issues related to autoimmune issues, because of the oxalates in them and because of the nightshades. and they have lectins in them. These are plants' natural defenses to keep bugs off of them. And what is happening in our society is that our gut health and our level of health is so much lower than what our ancestors were, that our ancestors probably didn't think twice about eating all this stuff. One, because they just had better health and they could withstand these natural defenses. But two, they didn't have them on tap all the time. You could not go out and buy a huge bag of kale. You know, they really lived by the seasons. They lived by what was either grown naturally and wild around them, or when we get into the farming, you know, eras, what they could farm successfully around them. So when we are at an advantage that we can walk into a grocery store and get an abundance of amazing food, but there is a disadvantage to it where we overconsume things that we have been told are healthy, which they are. I'm not saying that all of it's not unhealthy, but I do believe that there's not a healthy narrative around living plant-based. So that's one thing that you need to think of. And that guidance is in Fertility Food and the formula. It talks about oxalates. It talks about nightshades. It talks about finding your food intolerances. That is the key thing. Now, if you have chosen to be, a vegetarian and a vegan, actually, it doesn't really matter why you chose that way, right? Maybe you just don't like meat. Maybe you don't like what's associated with meat. It doesn't matter. Scientifically, it is proven that there is things that we get from animal-based products that are very beneficial to us. Now, if you're not getting that from clean sources, I always say, if you can't buy meat at the clean source, because I know it's super expensive, I still buy clean meat, don't eat the rancid meat. The benefits that meat will have for you almost get canceled by all the crap that they put into it. But when you're a vegetarian, vegan, there's a lot of supplementation that might be needed, especially in being a vegan and just making sure you're doing that right. And I'll get to supplements a little bit later. But the other thing too, and this was in the question, was eating a lot of raw food. And obviously the acupuncturists believe that this is cold for your body. Is there some truth into that? Yes, I think there is. I do think there is it's much better to have a balance of cooked and raw food. But from a functional medicine standpoint, your stomach has to work harder to digest raw food. So if you are, let's take a carrot, for example, if you take a raw carrot and you just start eating that carrot, you actually need to sit and every mouthful chew like 100 times. You have to break down that raw carrot enough to, when it gets to the stomach, it helps the gut to digest that raw carrot. So when you are so that's one thing that you need to think of when you're eating a lot of raw vegetables and fruits. You need to slow down your eating and chew a lot to help break that down. So that's definitely one thing that you need to do. So even if you are breaking down your food that much for your stomach, your stomach still has to do extra work. So lightly steaming or lightly cooking your food just a little bit more is very beneficial to your gut health. And that's, we're having this client has some gut health issues, especially the constipation and then diarrhea. Yeah, like it totally sounds like the same issues that I had. And the ironic thing is, when I was seeing doctors for my gut health and they just told me I had IBS, they basically told me to eat raw vegetables, which was like probably one of the worst things that I could have done at that time. We need to make sure that we are either chewing our food slowly and a lot to help digestion, lightly cooking or steaming it. Having a healthy balance between, that like smoothies are great, but do we want to have a smoothie every single day? Probably not. So finding that balance is really tricky when you are fully plant-based, especially vegan. I know that when I went on the autoimmune diet, you feel like so much is taken off your plate before that, and then so much more happens. I can imagine when you go into a vegetarian and especially a vegan, that feels the same way. You can be successful on any diet out there: vegan, vegetarian, paleo, autoimmune, hell, even carnivore, going the other side. But the thing is that the more you decrease your variety, the more you are going to have to use supplementation to get the key ingredients that comes from our food, especially if you are a vegan. And I think you already know this, so I'm not going to go like super into detail on that side. Other thing is, you feel like you're on a million supplements, even though your iron, your thyroid, your zinc, your magnesium, your B12 is exact are all okay. So in the course as well, there is guidance about supplementation. For Fertility Formula goes way more in depth into supplementation, but Fertility Food definitely gives you a good starting point. But the first thing I talk about at the beginning of these courses is decreasing your supplementation, getting really rigid on what you actually need. So for you, if you are vegan, obviously your B12s, all that B vitamins is essential. You have to take those, right? But then it's really sitting with yourself. And in the Fertility Formula, we go way deep into intuition and really tapping into yourself and filling it out. Do I need this? Or am I just taking this because I'm scared if I don't take it, it won't work? And when we're in fear mode, we are actually putting up walls, we're putting up boundaries. And I know firsthand about taking a million supplements, and I thought I was doing something. Supplements and food are tangible. We feel like we're doing something with them. So it's really tapping in more to ourselves and trusting ourselves, trusting our intuition. And this can help with finding your food intolerances and what the right kind of, if you want, and more of a guidelines on what diet, if you want to follow paleo, vegan, whatever it is that right for me? Right? If I was, directed and given the right guidance, finding my food intolerances at the beginning of my journey would have saved me 5 years. It would have saved me a really long time. So tap into that intuition. Really look into your supplementation and go, hey, is this really what I need? Like, do I have a medical reason to be on this, or am I just taking this? Because the other thing too with over supplementation, and there's a link inside the course about a video where I do like a water demonstration of what supplements are actually doing if you're not decreasing your inflammation, your oxidative stress. But too much supplementation is hard on your liver and hard on your gut health. So if those are things of areas of focus that you need, it's really important to get strategic, and that's why we talk about targeted supplementation. When I started working with a health coach and we discovered the areas that I needed to improve, other than my prenatal, all the supplements that I was taking got thrown in the bin. I didn't need them. And they were all fertility supplements, you know, all the ones I Googled and was like, oh, this is good for food and this is good. It's like, that's not what my body needed. My body needed help detoxing. My body was low on glutathione. My body needed gut health support. So it's a lot. It can be overwhelming, but it's essential and vital to almost take some steps back to be able to move forward confidently and actually be doing the right things for you. And then she asked too, does she need to do another stool mapping? I will never ever tell people not to do testing. You have to follow your intuition if this is the right test for you. But my question would be, and this is where a lot of people get caught up with stool testing, is you get the test. Who's giving you the guidance behind that? If you've had a test with a practitioner and that practitioner did not support you in the right way where your gut health issues resolve themselves, don't go back to them or to that test. Because that's what testing and getting the guidance is all about, is really targeting in on what you need to do. I never had a gut health test because they weren't around when I was going through this. I never had a food sensitivity test. These things are doable without them. But if you want to invest the money, you need to make sure you get the right guidance and support when you do them. Because just like you, I've had clients run stool tests, have issues, and I'm like, what protocol did they put you on? Nothing. They said nothing. And so make sure when you're investing in these things, you have the right support behind you, or you feel confident enough to do the research yourself. So I hope that this is giving you a little bit of guidance and support. Like I said, when you join the community, and I'm going to let the community members in just 1 minute, but the live recordings don't go out to the public. These are just for community members, but you get to talk to me and you get to ask questions and say, hey, okay, you said this, but what about this? And this kind of mind sharing is so key. And this is why I do a podcast. The things that I discovered listening and talking to people literally changed my life and changed my journey. All right, I'm going to let people in. Thank you. I hope this has helped, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you once again for tuning in to the Finding Fertility podcast. If you're loving this podcast, please leave us a rating and review and let us know how this podcast is supporting you to get steps closer to creating your dream family. I hope you have a beautiful weekend, and we will see you next Friday for another episode of the Finding Fertility podcast.